news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Not sure that Kane had that wreck on I-65 southbound, but that is quite the problem. Hopefully, no one's seriously injured, but I can't speak on that. I can tell you the traffic is really backed up on 65 and now the service roads. Mm-hmm. They've become the spillover, and that's where a lot of the traffic is there, too.
Yeah, so a dry morning after a lot of rainy mornings, but it has not been an easy one.
No.
Especially on 10 and 65, so just be aware as you make your way to wherever it is you're headed this morning. And where we're headed is a conversation with Quinn Hillier, because it's a Tuesday morning, and we talk with Quinn on Tuesdays. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing fine, and I guess I would have lost the bet. I did not think that the narco terrorist strikes would still be in the A block of a lot of the news shows at night, but there it sits, still a bunch of people on both sides of the aisle making a big deal over these boat strikes, specifically that first one back on September 2nd, and what orders Hegseth gave or didn't give, or was it Admiral Bradley? And you point to an article from a legal mind I really respect, Andrew McCarthy, and what he thinks about this. But kind of tell us your thoughts, Quinn.
Okay, well, look, there are some rules of war are clear, and Andy McCarthy lays it out. For the record, for those who don't know, even though you might not realize you've seen him on Fox News a million times, he's a solid conservative. Andy McCarthy is the guy who, as a top prosecutor, brought the imam to justice, the one who did the first World Trade Center bombing in 1990 or 91, you know, where they bombed the
garage.
The parking garage, yep. Yeah. And he is a top-notch, straight-shooting, conservative legal mind who has defended Trump on numerous occasions. So certainly not... obviously not one of these never-Trumpers. And he has written again and again and again, these strikes are illegal. And you can't go into this saying, okay, what's our goal? If our goal is good, therefore the means are justified. You just cannot do that. That's not the way U.S. law works. It's not the way the law of war works. It's not the way the Geneva Conventions work if they are, you know, if they are triggered. And he explains it really well. Mm-hmm. These people are not at war with us. They are not bearing weapons. They are not directly threatening us. The way to stop them is by interdiction. Now, you might have some immediate emergency where it might be justified, but in general, the president can't just say, oh, they're narcos, therefore they're terrorists, and make a blanket proclamation that they're terrorists and therefore we can kill them. Even with a blanket proclamation that they're terrorists, which he doesn't have the ability to do, he still doesn't have the power to kill them unless they are in some way threatening American lives directly. And, again, go to Andy McCarthy, National Review. He lays this all out. But the worst thing here is that it takes a congressional act, an actual law, to make something like this legal. And Hegseth and, by extension, Trump are saying Congress doesn't matter. And this has been their message on numerous fronts, again and again. Congress doesn't matter, we run the show. That's not how our system works. That's not how the Constitution is designed. So I'll stop there.
And I do want to get back to whether or not these narcos are providing an immediate threat, because I think there can be a debate had about that. But, you know, one thing that keeps being brought up, and I brought it up myself, Quinn, are the Obama drone strikes, and whether those were warranted or not. And I know McCarthy brings that up in his article as well, kind of the difference between the Obama drone strikes and then these strikes on the narcos.
Yeah, the Obama drone strikes were very problematic but not necessarily illegal, because he was acting according to a specific grant of authority in a law written by Congress, signed by the president. Trump is not acting according to such a law. There was a law that specifically said the president can go after terrorist actors who are involved in, you know, a certain kind of terrorism that, and, you know, and they defined what the rules were. And Obama could argue, at least, that he was within those rules. It's debatable, but at least he was citing specific law. Trump and Hegseth are saying, we don't need a law. We can do it on our own. That's the difference.
One ironic piece of audio that Dalton came across early this week, late last week, was Joe Biden in 1989 talking about going after narco-terrorists. That was the actual term
the
back
actual
then.
Term, yeah, the actual term. And there's a euphemism. We say the war on poverty. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we're actually in a war.
Mm-hmm.
The left has come up with a video of Pete Hegseth from about 8 years ago saying that this sort of thing is absolutely not allowed. So again, you know, you can play that game all you want. That's why I say go to Andy McCarthy at National Review, because he lays it all out very clearly, not in a going after Trump fashion, but just saying this is what the law says. This is how we behave as a constitutional democracy. And believe me, Andy McCarthy is not weak on drugs. Neither am I, by the way. I'm as anti-drug as anybody you'll ever find. You got to follow the law.
Could this not just be a covert operation? Is this transparency or is this grandstanding, showing the video?
I don't know about showing the
You mean like the Trump administration showing off some of them?
Is that, I mean, could they not do this in a more covert way and it wouldn't be an issue at all?
Not really. There are also laws that govern the CIA or military intelligence operations, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to treat so-called narco-terrorists as something other than a criminal matter, as a military matter, then you need to define that in law. You can't just say, okay, we're now treating them as terrorists. Right now, the law treats cocaine traffickers as a legal violation, not as a military one. And if we don't follow the law, we're lost as a civilization, as a society, as a constitutional republic.
Well, and again, I think there should be a lot of anger placed on Congress for not acting. But I guess I do have an issue, and I know it's not your words necessarily, Quinn, but that, and I think a big reason we're down there is to wrest control away from China and Russia over these countries in the Western Hemisphere. But using the argument that fentanyl is killing so many Americans, which is a valid argument, to say that these drug traffickers don't present an immediate threat, who is it that determines whether they do present an immediate threat? Because I would say, if you're bringing precursors to fentanyl our country, then that would present an immediate threat.
Well, I'm not belittling the horrors of cocaine, but this isn't fentanyl. These are not fentanyl smugglers. These are cocaine smugglers, if they're smugglers at all. Fentanyl does not come on the high seas from Venezuela. Fentanyl comes probably originated in China, smuggled through Mexico. It's the cocaine traffickers that come across the Gulf, and well across the Caribbean first and then the Gulf from Venezuela. So we're not talking fentanyl, but either way it's bad. Either way, we need to crack down on it. Either way, I've got no problem with interdictions on the high seas. But again, go after these guys as hard as you can, as long as you follow the law. Once you lose the law, you're lost.
Let's get to another hot topic, too, as we head towards midterms and so many different states taking it upon themselves to redistrict. Texas got a good ruling from the Supreme Court. Texas conservatives got a good ruling from the Supreme Court last week. But this Louisiana decision is still hanging out there. What's the latest on these? And I mean, time is of the essence, right?
Time is definitely of the essence. And I'm expecting, some people don't expect it this soon, I'm expecting within about 9 days the Supreme Court to rule on the Louisiana case. I won't bore you with all the details about why I think they'll rule within 9 days, other than to say that the court itself in previous cases, including the Alabama one in one stage of it 4 years ago, was very cognizant of the deadlines of how quickly things had to be done to have a smooth election. And Louisiana's deadlines are coming up. Either way, if I'm right or if I'm wrong, either they come down in 9 days or they come down in 6 weeks, they're going to be coming down sometime, you know, not all the way to June, but sometime long before then. And the Louisiana case could be a really interesting thing where they rule in favor of what the Louisiana conservatives argue, but they do not throw out their prior rulings, in which case it would not affect what they've done, I think wrongly done, but what they've done to Alabama. It really bears watching not just what the result is, but what the reasoning is. I think Louisiana is going to probably win and say that, no, you cannot draw two black majority districts just because they're black. You know, but that doesn't mean that you can, you know, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the middle ground, and that middle ground would keep them from overruling what they've done to Alabama, which is what our listeners are interested in.
So even if Louisiana, if they get a favorable ruling for Republicans, it would probably have no.
Well, if my interpretation of what they're going to do is correct, it mm-hmm. could affect Alabama, but it's going to they would have to basically overrule 40 years of their own jurisprudence to do so, rather than just rule on some narrow technical grounds on the Louisiana case. The problem there is the presumed fifth vote to rule in favor of Alabama. I mean, Louisiana Republicans and conservatives, the presumed fifth vote is Amy Coney Barrett and Comey Barrett. And she, in the past, even when ruling for Alabama conservatives, separated herself from, say, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito by saying she's not ruling to overturn anything. She was just ruling on narrow grounds in Alabama. If she does the same thing in Louisiana, and if she does what she said at oral argument, which is show an extreme wariness to actually overturning precedent, then that's why I think she goes to a middle ground, if you can follow all that.
She's a native of Louisiana, is she not?
She is a native of New Orleans.
I thought so. Okay.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how exactly it works, Quinn, with the voting rights laws, but the last time Alabama appealed, I want to say the judge or one of the judges told them that they couldn't do anything about it until after 2030. So even if this Louisiana case does affect the Alabama case, do you know if we'll have to wait until then for an updated census in lines?
That's the second reason, though, I said it gets really complicated. The second reason why I think it probably won't affect Alabama, regardless of what they do. Now, granted, the Supreme Court, if they make such a sweeping overrule of their prior decisions, then that lower court order saying, Alabama, you've got to stop appealing this, that could get thrown out the window, too. But that's very unlikely. It's possible, but unlikely. All of which is to say, Alabama, we're stuck with districts that go from all the way from the Mississippi state line to the Georgia state line, even though it makes absolutely no sense. We're probably stuck with that until 2030, unfortunately, in my book.
Okay. All right. The rent is due downtown. Or was, anyway. We can get into that between the county and the city.
Yeah. Are we going to have to start a GoFundMe so that the city can pay rent at Government Plaza?
Will City Hall be next to Sewing World off Moffett Road? It's 8:21. Dan and Dalton and more with Quinn on the way.
A traffic tip or your own take on the news. Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and we'll get to a lot of those texts after this next break. With it being Christmas season, of course, it's a great time of the year to give as well. And if you're looking for somewhere or some place to give to, Holiday Dinners 2025 food and donation drive for the Love All Pantry at Central Presbyterian Church in Midtown Mobile. Had Connie Guggenbiller in with us for Law 251 with Brian Comer just last week, and she runs Love All Pantry, and they are accepting donations through December for, you know, helping our community out and getting food to those who need it. And Tobias and Comer Law all month will be collecting non-perishable food items at their office there at 1203 Dauphin Street, and also monetary donations through a secure website link. We have that up on our Facebook page, and also it's at tobiascomerlaw.com, and they will match up to $2,500 in donations to the Love All Pantry for this year's Holiday Dinners 2025, and help out a little bit, and Tobias and Comer will match you. Of course, Tobias Comer, great local law firm, and they have a fantastic website, tobiascomerlaw.com. You can also call for a free consultation at any time, 251-432-5001. That's tobiascomerlaw.com.
Quinn Hillier with quinnhillier.com, so the advocate in Louisiana. Hours after Mobile County officials publicly accused the city of skipping rent at Government Plaza, Mayor Spiro Chirigaitis had a press conference last night where he's saying, oh, hang on, that's not that's just part of the story. What's going on, Quinn?
Well, I don't know all the details of negotiations, but here's what the numbers say. The numbers say that Mobile County is trying to raise the rent by, I think it's 98% overnight.
Mm-hmm.
That is objectively wrong. This is supposed to be a partnership, and you don't take the city government, which acts in concert so often with the county government. You don't, as a county government, say, oops, sorry, you've got to basically double what you're paying. And I don't know what the county government is thinking. I don't know why they're doing it. Obviously, costs go up. Okay. You don't double the rent overnight. That's absolutely objectively wrong. Now, Mayor Chirigaitis is saying, well, you know, we're going to try to work something out. Everything he's saying is okay, except he's saying we might even have to move out of downtown. We don't want to, but we might. That would be devastating to the city of Mobile to take away that huge tenant from downtown when everybody knows, every study shows, that a city's downtown must be vibrant for the city to be vibrant. So,
and there may be a city employee on Zillow this morning trying to find some new office space for the rest of the city, and it's all playing out really publicly now. It sounds to me like the county commission was more or less saying, hey, you've known about this for several months. I mean, your lease is up, and the increase does seem insane. But then when last night Mayor Spiro was talking about some other office space, and he mentioned the RSA Tower, which technically he said is cheaper, $22 a square foot compared to what Government Plaza now would put at $23 a square foot. But I'd say that's still competitive. Yeah. So I wonder, was the rent there for the city just ultra low for a long time, and then this rapid rise in that rent is the big issue?
Well, the rent was probably low because it was probably set years ago and hadn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Chirigaitis does note that the RSA takes a lot better care of their much nicer facilities than the county does. The city county building's roof has famously leaked several times, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, the office space is worth more in the RSA. Either way, you don't double it overnight. You say, okay, or even if you give them several months' warning.
What phase it in.
You ratchet it up. You say, okay, you know, we're sort of losing because costs have gone up. Let's work something out. So maybe we go up 10% a year for the next 6-7 years, something like that. You don't do an automatic 98% raise. That's just wrong, and the county should be ashamed of itself.
That's what bothers me about this whole thing. Going public, it seems pretty childish. Quinn, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks.
All right, Quinn Hillier, read his work, NOLA.com, The Advocate, and, of course, QuinnHillier.com. We come back, we'll get to a lot of the texts, and there have been plenty this morning. We'll try to get to every one of them. 251-343-0106 if you want to jump on board.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 835. Text line 251-343-0106. You just heard that. And the text line is alive and well this morning.
And our FM Talk 106.5 brain trust during the break, getting together and trying to figure out, you know, if the city does need to leave Government Plaza because of the rent being too high, where will they go? And we're throwing around some ideas, thinking, you know, a lot of these vape shops, a lot of the smoke shops that have been selling the weed, but not weed, just joking, it's weed, but it's not really weed.
Yeah, yes.
Think a lot of them are going to end up having to shut down here once these new state and federal laws take effect. So I'm just saying, there's about one every half mile through Mobile.
And there won't be.
They might need to spread out the city employees into all these different smoke shops. Maybe that's just one idea.
And what did we saw on the text line about Saraland, I don't know that for a fact, but somebody on the text line saying that they recently moved their
Let me see if I can find
city
that
government to what was a Walmart. So that's what the property was. And that's kind of what we're joking about here. Has it really happened in Saraland? I don't remember that story when it happened.
So this was Jason on the text line. He said a few things. He said it would be interesting to hear from former Mayor Stimson about the rent issues downtown, and I agree. That'd be great. Would have been nice to know this before Sean had that hour-long sit-down with former Mayor Stimson not that long ago. Mm-hmm. But he also said, probably costly to remodel, but the Festival Center has plenty of vacancies, and the city complex would be centrally located there. Just saying, he said, City of Saraland just did something similar, moving into the old Walmart location on 43.
Well, the City of Mobile has taken on this this phrase, born to celebrate, and you have the Festival Center. So it kind of
makes sense.
Ties all in.
By the way, with this whole discussion, county versus city, so Sean will have, first off, he'll have Sheriff Paul Birch on today because it is the second Tuesday of the month, and I think that's at noon. And then 1 o'clock, County Commissioner Randall Dewitt will be on Midday Mobile, so we'll hear from the county side of things. Their rebuttal to Mayor Spiro's response last night in his press conference. While we're talking about this, let's go to the phone lines. And Joel in Summerdale, I'm sure he's fired up this morning. Good morning, Joel.
Hey, I'm not too bad off right now, but how y'all doing?
Well, by the end of this call, you might be.
I think the city should get their own facility, and the mayor and the city council can tell them to shove that $100,000 a month up their butt and go find their own place, and then let the county sit there and go, wow, we just ran out all of our office spaces. And then how are they going to make up that other – how are they going to make up that money if the city leaves? Who they don't have enough people to move into that. That's been the worst building design in history. That thing has leaked since the beginning they put it up.
Yeah,
I mean,
it has.
It's just a terrible flaw anyway.
So, Joel, I never thought about a dispute like this could even happen because I've always just considered that's the government plaza. You have both county and city.
Yeah,
there.
So what goes in there? Government, right?
Government.
I didn't know that the county owns it by itself.
I didn't either.
That just blew me away.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and, we know that.
I'm saying the mayor needs to stand up, the city council, and they all need to get together and say, you know what, county? Y'all can have this raggedy, watery dump hole you got, and we're going to go find a brand new, we'll make it into what we wanted to make in. That's what the city needs to do, and let the county have that dump.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Joel.
Thanks.
Good call. I will say, I would guess, even though this is being made public now, that there is more to this story.
Yeah.
If the lease was up several months ago, or I guess a couple months ago.
Back in June.
And I would, with that kind of a rate increase, I would bet, just guessing, that the city has probably been living off some low rent there at Government Plaza for some time. Now, what Quinn was saying, you know, should you jack it up 90% and say, all right, here's what you're paying now? I mean, maybe there's a better way around that and kind of phasing in the rent increase. But with Commissioner DeWitt coming on at 1 o'clock today on Midday Mobile, I will, and I know this is rare for me, I will wait until I hear more from them on their side of the story.
Absolutely. And I'm not on one side or the other, and I haven't been all morning. Just
the fact that it's public.
It just seems like, come on. It was, so they had not paid October. They had not paid November.
I think it ran out in September is from...
Right. And so now Spiro says, okay, we're going to pay those immediately, but at the old rate, $125,000. It was in June. So this is as far back as June when this was known during, Mayor Stimson's, the waning months of his administration. County officials unilaterally canceled the city's lease for the space at Government Plaza. That was not a story in June, mm-hmm. right? That was under wraps.
Yeah.
So their space on the 10th floor of Government Plaza notified the city of a nearly 90% rent increase, according to the information provided by the city. According to Chair Gattis, the city, then under former Mayor Sandy Stimson, raised concerns about steep, sudden increase and asked to discuss it. However, since the lease expired October 1, he explained the city has not had a lease to pay. So he's like saying, yeah, we didn't pay it. We're still negotiating it. Or that's his side of the story. We'll see what DeWitt's got to say today with Sean.
And keep an eye out. If the city pulls the squatter card, then they can just stay there without paying. That's the way I understand that works. So
that would be crazy. You pull the squatter card and you're an entire municipality. It's like, we can't get this guy out. No, we can't get this city out. And who knew that the county, that's because I thought the design of the Government Plaza was the brainchild or the choice, I should say, certainly an architectural
decisions were made.
Yeah, so they picked a certain style to stand out. I get that. Most people not real crazy about the design, but I thought that was a mayor's decision in the past, either Outlaw or Dow, or I don't know how far back that went.
Yeah, we'll have to do a little digging. Leanna has been making some great past Mobile stories on our Facebook page where she digs into some historical things. So that might be a good one for her to dive into this week. I'll put in the request. Earl says, great call from Summerdale, and then puts puking emoji on the text line and says, it's childish not to pay your bills on time. They keep the money in investment accounts long enough to make the bill money. Brad says, food for thought. I don't know how much space they need, but what about the corner of Government and Broad where that CVS sits? Let's see. K. Anna, and I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, so correct me on the text line if I'm not, says, no more Quinn for me. That dude sucks. And then another line there that I'm not going to read. And said, Saraland moved into the old Kmart location. And that's notable, Kmart compared to Walmart, because, well, there aren't any Kmarts out there anymore, as far as I know, and plenty of locations to move into. Michael says, whiny Quinn's response to what's going on with City Hall is a classic. I don't know anything, but here's some numbers and what I think they mean. He says also, it wouldn't be a terrible thing to move. Government Plaza is the most ridiculous looking building in all of Mobile County. Bucky the Beaver.
I'm the rare person who says, I'm okay with it.
We don't go in there. So.
Well, we don't go in there, but it's a little, it's off the wall a little bit, I guess. But, it's all I've known in Mobile. Mm-hmm. It opened in 1994, by the way. So when, I guess it started construction, had to be early 90s. I thought that a mayor's, like Mike Dow's, that was his imprint. Like, this is how we want the city to be regarded. Like, mm-hmm. as people come through, they're going to say, what a hip, modern place. Something like that.
Right.
That's what I remember. I don't have all my facts together, so feel free to help me on the text line or give us a call.
I will say, cool idea, having the windows above you. But when it rains, it tended to cause some issues. So this is Bucky Beaver. A couple different items he was texting on this morning. As far as working out in the airports, we're talking about Transportation Secretary Duffy making a move towards that. He said, I don't want to be sitting beside someone on the plane that just got through working out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dog ain't going to hunt, is what he had to say.
I mean, there's that.
And he also said, whatever happened to the phrase war on drugs? I believe it was used by several presidents. Now we got one, and people like Quinn, he says, I don't know. He's educated beyond his intelligence. The rule of law people, I agree with, but I also don't understand why so many people are concerned about the rule of law now, although I do, and it's because who's in power. I would have loved if every single president and commander followed the rule of law all the way through, but we know that hasn't been the case, especially over the last, well, I mean, you can go further back, but over the last 25 years, there's been these different cases where you go, I'm not sure that's a legal strike. And with so many people being affected by drugs in America, and I know there's the discussion over, well, is it fentanyl coming from Venezuela or is it cocaine? I really think the overarching idea behind putting this pressure on Venezuela is because of Maduro's ties to Russia and China and the oil reserves that are in Venezuela that would sure look nice with some American companies nearby.
Yeah, there's more to all this than just knocking a boat out, right?
But the drugs are coming.
They're coming, and also this Sports Center videotape, let's watch it again thing that the Trump administration doing, I don't know if that's the wisest thing. That's all I'm saying. The presentation of it is very braggadocious, and at the same time, it's controversial.
It's weird because I think it's hurting their legal argument, but I think it's helping them in the court of public opinion.
Could be.
You look at the polls, and people are still, I believe, overwhelmingly in favor of striking these drug boats.
But you're doing a touchdown dance after the replay shows you might have stepped out of bounds at the 30. So you have, and you're doing it. Your presentation of all this is probably not sitting well with everybody. And again, you could do things that I know Quinn was like, no, you can't do. But there have been things done in the past, very covert operations that met the goal. And even the Obama strikes, the drone strikes that we were talking about, a good article, I've tried to get to it in the Washington Times by Carrie Pickett one of her arguments, she was on Gordon Deal this morning, and she just said, the fact that we're showing these over and over, that they're seen, that allows the argument to be loud on both sides.
Yes, it does, and they're not afraid to get loud on both sides of this thing. I just, when it comes down to it, you could see so often, and I know Sean will disagree, you could see the drugs in the boats they're hitting. And if we're fighting this war, and I saw a great video of an actual interdiction, not missiles blowing up a drug boat, but they caught a boat from Venezuela carrying, I think they said 20 tons of cocaine, and they had the chopper pull up and a sniper sitting in the chopper firing shots at the engines, and then some pot shots to keep them down on the boat.
Wow.
And then you had a boat of our own move in, I guess this would have been the Coast Guard, move in and board that other vessel. And those operations, while technically more legal, I guess some would say, have to be a hell of a lot more dangerous.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, of course. And the possibility of injury or loss of life are much greater with that. You got gunfire going, you're in the middle of a gun battle. So this ain't that.
No.
This is just taking them out from however
from
far up in space. Yeah,
not technically space, but
however far up you are, and then presenting the video evidence.
A texter here said, I think there's more to the whole narcotic terrorist bombings than people are letting on. If it was really illegal, why haven't charges been brought against the administration? I'll say they're waiting. I think that's what they're building up to. Texter continued, I voted for Trump 3 times and support what's going on against the Venezuela terrorists. They just keep coming out saying it's illegal, but they don't do anything with it, which leads me to believe there's a law somewhere that supports what he's doing. I imagine this will all just work its way back to the Supreme Court, which if you look at how many different cases they're settling now and have yet to settle, that is just determining the boundaries of executive power. It seems like every case before them is, well, can the president do this? Can the president do that? So I would guess that this will eventually work its way in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you're probably right. By the way, back to Government Plaza real quick. Mike Dow became the mayor in 1989. He was the mayor till 2005, by the way, so he had a lot of influence on this city. He had the String of Pearls initiative that was more of a downtown thing and trying to create a safer, brighter downtown. I don't know if he considered, I don't think he did, the Government Plaza part of the String of Pearls, but the construction on the building we now know as Government Plaza, I don't know when it started. It ended around 1994. That's when the building was complete and open for business. So I would attribute that to Mayor Mike Dowd, and I think I had a conversation with him one time way back where he told me as such, or someone did, that I thought that was his decision to go with that architectural style.
I don't want to tell you how old I was when all this was going down.
Four.
my Air Force pilot brother was born in 94, yeah, so, and he's about done with his service, I think. I don't know. He'll have to talk with him and see if he's going to extend that. This is a great text here. Said, I worked on the on-site engineering team for the general contractor when we were building the government plaza. We would talk about the unique design and how it was picked by Mayor Dow and his team back then.
Picked by Mayor Dow, owned by the county. That's what I'm not kind of, that's not jiving.
What, perfectly. Yeah.
If he authorized the building,
yeah,
and yet the county, at some point, now they
run
own it. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to dig in on that. This texter continued, I was literally there from the first shovel being dug till the grand opening.
Oh, I love it.
I can tell you some stories on how we had to adapt several things at site to make it work for what the leaders wanted. I have good memories from my time working there and a bad one, too. He mentioned someone who lost their life during that project. Mm. He said, I have an old newspaper clipping and photo from the press register where I was standing next to Mayor Dow as he was looking at the trusses being put in. Construction started in 1992.
You would have to think, and I've never heard anyone or many people at all ever say, man, I love the design of that building. Now I'm the oddball here because I like it okay.
Don't see a problem with it.
I don't see a problem with it, but something that has to take at least 2 years of construction time. People are watching it go up. The criticism of how that thing looked was before they ever broke ground, right? As it's being built, people are saying, no, I don't think this is going to fly.
Yeah.
So it was probably catching criticism from citizens well before it was completed.
So you're saying that sometimes citizens know what they're talking about?
Sometimes they don't.
They do a lot.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is that I think about the criticism of that building, and I'm sure that the criticism was before the building was ever opened,
I'm
because
sure.
As it was being built, you could see where it was going, and it was nothing like you would imagine any kind of government municipal building would look like.
Yeah.
So it went out of its way to be different. I don't have a problem with that, but I'm sure citizens did during even the construction of it.
Even if you're moving from one lease that's more expensive to one that's cheaper, just moving everything is probably going to be quite the bill on its own.
You're right.
I imagine the best thing for all parties would be to work this out in Government Plaza rather than trying to find a new place.
We'll start with Randall Dewitt today, talking with Sean, see what the county side of all this is.
Yeah, he'll be on at 1 o'clock on Midday Mobile following Sheriff Birch, who will have a full hour in the hot seat with Ask the Sheriff. We have more texts to get to, too. A lot of busy texts this morning. 251-343-0106 if you want to jump on before the end of the show.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Some improvement news or improving news on Interstate 65 southbound. They've removed the last wrecked car, so at least that's been taken care of. That's been a commute morning-long disruption in traffic for sure. It's 8:55. Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, he'll talk with ALGOP Chairman John Wall in hour number one. Attorney General Steve Marshall, who's running for U.S. Senate, will be on the Jeff Poor Show just after 10:30. And then after 11:30, some national political news with a man who's great at it, Bradley Jay from Breitbart News. Also want to remind you, coming up tomorrow night, have the Rolling Tigers Booster Club Bash and $10,000 drawdown. That'll be at the St. Dominic's Murphy Center, and they still have tickets available, but not many. So if you want your chance to win that $10,000, they have a lot of great silent auction items as well, signed footballs and helmets from Auburn and Alabama stars of the past. And you can get those tickets at Rim Animal Clinic on Hillcrest or call Dr. Mike Rim, 251-232-4753. Event starts at 6 p.m. tomorrow night at St. Dominic's.
All right. I thought I had a memory of a dome, an unusual dome home in Columbus, Georgia, though I can't verify that now.
We were talking about cool home designs, and you just think someone should make a mini government plaza.
Like,
or would someone want their house to look like that?
Like, I'm a fan of the look. Therefore, if I just ran into some money, I'd say, all right, right here in Spring Hill, hello, my new neighbors. This is my plot of land. Guess what I'm going to do now? I'm going to build a home. Well, that'll be wonderful, Mr. Brennan. It's good to have you in the neighborhood. Certainly. The home is going to look just like Government Plaza and see how that flies, you know, a block from the country club.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love it. They'd think it's awesome. Texter here, continue with the lethal interdictions. Classify them as top secret and life in Leavenworth for any leakers. Also says Michael Corleone for president, Colonel Jessup for secretary of war. Okay. Fish River Frank says, and the roof leaked for a decade, it seems, talking about Government Plaza.
Like decades.
Texter says, we have been intercepting, arresting, prosecuting, and incarcerating drug dealers for years. The cost of these actions far exceeds the cost of one Hellfire missile.
Yeah, and AVIT. The cost of life or injury with the shootout that you described.
Mm-hmm. Another texter says, the R2-D2 building, ugliest building ever.
Yeah. I understand anyone's feeling
how much
like that, but I like it.
How much room will be in the halls of the new Civic Center Arena is what I want to know. Can they fit the city government in some rooms there?
Well,
just attach it to the new arena?
They shrunk. I mean, well, the arena is, I guess, going to be as many seats as the old arena, but no longer with the theater, right? The mm-hmm. theaters. So it's actually a smaller.
Just throwing ideas on the wall here.
Yeah. And the arena, by the way, if you've noticed, and I have, it's coming along. You can see the arena architecture. You can see the tiered seating area. It's pretty cool.
It is. Chris in Orange Beach says President Nixon started the war on drugs and had Elvis in the Oval Office and gave him a badge, making him an honorary member of the DEA. You know, these days, though, with the drones, you can actually pull the trigger. We need to get celebrities pulling the trigger on some of these missile attacks.
And then Elvis died of a drug overdose on his toilet.
He did.
Basically.
I remember that, too. Or I've heard of that.
That intervention, you know, only worked for so long.
Another texter, do you find it odd that the videos of the drug boats being torched, that you cannot see the incoming missiles' tail flare signatures? I guess I haven't looked closely enough. I've watched the videos, certainly, but I just thought I saw missiles blowing up boats, so I didn't dive in enough, I guess, to notice that. And plenty more texts. I wish we could get to all of them. Sean says Obama was drone striking a couple weddings a day. Tony in Fowl River talking about Quinn. We'll get to a lot more tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, we will. Jeff Poore next. Dan and Dalton, see you in the morning. We'll be here at 6 a.m.